This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Great, it's Tierney. Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second. A day to celebrate the Mets NLDS series win heading to the NLCS. We just went over the starting rotation possibilities. Can't even believe that we're going to get into the NLCS starting Sunday, game one. And then potentially, BT, have both the Mets in the NLCS and the Yankees in the ALCS.
Which would be absolute lunacy. Not that we didn't hint at this over the summer as a possibility, but here we are, at least on the doorstep. And pertaining to the Yankees, yeah, is Luis Gil really not going to touch a baseball this series?
That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't understand what's going on. Now, I know that one of the things about the Yankees that's a little frustrating is that, like, they never really break code. They're very reluctant to make change. Whether it's Stanton now, the reward of the Yankees last night, he was awesome. You love to see it. But they've been very stubborn with certain things over the years. They, especially Boone. Boone remains married to his guys, even though it's an organizational thing. Boone's the manager. Can somebody explain to me how it's not at least on the table to start Luis Gil tonight, okay? Push back Gerrit Cole to a potential Game 5. Newsflash, Gerrit Cole wasn't good in Game 1. He was awful. So it's not like you're pushing Andy Pettit back or Roger Clemens back or whatever, or El Duque. You know, he wasn't good. And I do think I feel better about the Yankees wrapping this up in Kansas City than I did going into last night's game. Going into last night's game, I thought there would be a fifth game. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees come out and score 6 or 7 runs and win 6-3, 6-4, something like that. But if they don't win, you're going to Game 5 where Carlos Rodon trying to save your season. How in the world could you justify that?
And then more so, I'm just trying to play this out. You can't, and I don't know, by the way, if they would. Like right now, it slates like that. If they, maybe they don't have to make that decision, right? If they do lose tonight with Cole.
Yeah.
You can't justify having Carlos Rodon as opposed to...
I agree, but I asked Susan that yesterday. She's like, there's no way they would switch that up. She was very adamant about that. To my chagrin, so, and to my surprise.
So then just moving it forward, right? Let's say they... And I don't expect them... Obviously, they're not going to do it now. Move Gerrit Cole. But I like your line of thinking because you're not only saving him for potential Game 5, you're also having him in line for ALCS Game 1. So how does that series... What are the days here? We have Game 1 would be Monday... Is Game 2 ALCS Tuesday? Okay. So Game 2 would be Tuesday.
Finally some flow for the Yankees series.
So wait. So where are we at today? Today's Thursday. So Cole, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday would be his normal day. So he'd be lined
up. He'd go Game 2.
Game 2. Who then would pitch Game 1? Carlos Rodon?
Game 1.
Or Luis Gil?
That's a really good question. I don't know. Either way.
You would think it's one of those two, right?
I would think that it should be one of those two, but everything that they've showed us or intimated, really think that they're weighing Luis Gil. I think it's going to be Rodon.
Which doesn't make any sense. And we brought this up with Susan yesterday. Like, I don't understand it. He has been their best pitcher. And she's correct to say, well, no, he's not their best pitcher. Yeah, I get. Like, Gerrit Cole, since he came back, was terrific for them. And I know Clark Schmidt has been very good.
Very good. I like him. Trust him.
Luis Gil, to start the year, was the savior without Gerrit Cole. And it wasn't like, even though he dropped off a little bit, he still was, you know, going five to, yeah, all right, he walked some guys. Yeah, I get it, but he was still their most consistent pitcher throughout the entire year.
He had a couple of starts where I was like, man, I'm a little worried. Not worried that he couldn't find
Schmidt would be on regular rest for Game 1?
Clark Schmidt, let's see, last night, so we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, he would be. Clark Schmidt would go Game 1, yeah.
Well,
he would be on regular rest.
So you'd have Rodon, Heel, or Schmidt as options. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's a home game. You're not going to move Cole either up or back. So you would assume that if they want Rodon at home, like they've been saying,
correct,
he would get number one. You're not going to give him, I wouldn't think, you push him back and have Clark Schmidt start game number one.
And he wouldn't move like Gerrit Cole to game three to do that.
Correct.
To satisfy
the
home splits
there. So you would think there's one home game up for grabs and it would be game one.
Probably. I don't know why they're not. I mean, unless I missed it, I don't even think I've seen Luis Gil throw a pitch in the bullpen. And I mean, I've seen every second.
Right.
I mean, sometimes maybe going back and forth to the Mets and I miss something like where coming back from commercial, heels, you know, stretching his arm out. I haven't even seen that. I, Now, he's not the weapon. Remember, he started very poorly for like two or three starts. Then he was amazing, where he kind of looked like a young Dwight Gooden. Remember, we had that conversation for a while?
Well, no, I remember you.
I'm saying we. You know, during the party. Just for, you know, for like.
Did they say that last night?
Oh, so
At some point during the broadcast, it might have been last night, I feel like they were like, well, nobody's comparing him to a young Doc Gooden. Somewhere along the line, somebody said that and made me think of you and Heal.
Yeah, these broadcasts react to the show. We had talk about the Kayvon Thibodeau with the Carl Banks stuff, and now baseball's chiming in on these baseball takes. The bottom line is, Luis Heal to me, there's two things. Why Clark Schmidt over Luis Heal? And I like that. Now, Clark Schmidt doesn't have the high-end stuff. He's got good stuff. Doesn't have the high-end stuff of Heal. But anytime, if there's a decision, Schmidt or Heal, I'm going Schmidt because Schmidt doesn't crack. Now, he's not going deep, but he is coming out, pumping strikes, and putting up zeros fast. Whereas Luis Heal can come out, walk a few guys, give a little broken bat bloop, a two-run double. You look up, it's 4-0. I'm not saying that that's not going to happen to Clark Schmidt. He's human, but the probability is very low. So I get the affinity for Schmidt over Heal. I'm like the last one. I've kind of defended Rodon. I think he's had a pretty good year. But if you just keep Luis Heal on ice this entire series, if they get to the next series, or even not even considering it for Game 5, it is insane on the Yankees' part.
So Heal, his last two starts have been awful, and that's what's scaring the Yankees away. I checked out at that point. Yanks, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Pirates at the end.
He went 5 2/3, allowed 6 runs.
How many walks?
Only one.
Okay, so.
And the one before that, 5 1/3, 3 walks, 5 hits, 4 runs.
Yeah, the walks have been an issue. He loses command.
At Oakland and then home against Pittsburgh, his last two starts of the season. Everything else before that was really good. So I can understand losing some trust, but, I mean, come on. Carlos Rodon has laid some eggs as well. Maybe they just think Heal is tired. I mean, that was a big factor, too. The innings thing. Remember, they said it wasn't going to be a factor until they see it with the performance.
That's true. And we kept talking about, hey, guys, it's not necessarily a strict conventional innings limit. It's more of a perception. And then even the RPMs, like, they'll lean on the data. When is he losing a little juice on a spin, which obviously speaks to fatigue. Listen, they've got the information. We don't. Yep. But by the eye test, who the hell wants Rodon starting Game 5 if there is one? The answer is nobody.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to your calls. Duke is in Brooklyn. What's up, Duke?
Duke.
Hey, Sal, you said something earlier which I started thinking about, the comment you made after speaking to the dad that picked up his son from school, which I thought was pretty cool. I would really like to hear Steve Cohen's answer if you asked him that question. Because if you think about it, I think that's what's wrong with New York sports. We continue to go out and spend a lot of money to bring people in, and we don't let some of these guys develop. We go through the draft, we spend all this money to find these people, and we don't allow them to develop.
Such as?
The Mets did
such
that.
Such as? Now, I'm not saying you're wrong pertaining to the Mets, but who? Who? Mm-hmm. Who don't we let develop? Yes. Zach Wilson? He didn't get enough time? Who?
Sam Darnold?
All right, Sam Darnold was bad here. And you had to pay him.
Let me ask you a question. Let's be realistic about this.
Mm-hmm.
Were the players bad? Or were the coaches bad?
Duke, both. I'm with you here. Well, I think both. Zach was bad. Sam was better than Zach, but not good. The organizations failed them more. And by the way, I just bring up the quarterbacks. They had to make not quite with Zach, but Darnold, fifth-year decision in terms of big money. So it was also contractually based. So that was one thing. But like, who else did? Like, maybe they gave up on Brett Beatty? All right, well, they went to Vientos, and he hit 290. Right. And he looked great.
As a New York sports fan,
by the way,
I mean,
that's BT that you're talking to. Now
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's all good.
Just to clarify.
So, as a New York fan, I think the question, I would love to hear you ask him that question.
I sent an email. I would love to get him on the show, and thank you for the call, Duke. And in case you missed it, check out on the Free Odyssey app. But I was saying before how I'd love to have Steve Cohen on and ask him the question, like, you're a billionaire 10 times over, whatever it may be. But you experience something that you cannot buy. Like, Steve Cohen is a rare individual that walks the planet that can have anything in life that he wants. You want to go to Hawaii, you want to wherever the hell you want to go.
Buy a small piece of Hawaii,
right,
you can.
Exactly. You can buy Hawaii. But what he's experiencing now is not something that can be bought. He tried to, but you can't. Others have tried to. You can't do it. That's what makes this so special. So, I mean, it's a simple question, and I'm sure somebody will ask it along the way, but I would have liked to have had him on the show.
I'd love to get him on the show.
Yeah, being that I have been kissing his ass for how many years about being the king. And by the way, it's not even kissing his ass. It's that I legit believed in
him. I know.
So, But when he talks about all the negativity, it's just not fair. Like, some people have been able to see through the dark spots and identify the positive signs, even in what otherwise would be, you know, on the surface, a negative thing. Whereas the Mets, they didn't have a great offseason. I said they had a better offseason than the Yankees. Whereas the Mets, even though they were 11 games under 500, still believed in the future moving forward. So I would love to have Steve Cohen on. It's probably never going to happen. So whatever, we move on. But think about that, where in sports, you can get something that you're provided a feeling and emotions that you cannot go out to the store and buy. I don't care how much money you have.
That's why they say money doesn't equate to happiness. And boy, is that a true statement. Although I wouldn't mind trying to find out at some point. I mean, I'm going to roll the dice on it. But I'm still hung up on what he said about our... And it's an interesting point, but I don't know if it really applies. Maybe at one point it did more. So I mentioned Zach, mentioned Darnold, you know, Mekhi Becton. I just wrote some to Evan Neal, R.J. Barrett. Like, I think the only case you... Brett Beatty got a chance. He didn't hit, man. You know, maybe next year they pull the plug on Gilbert or Acuna quick or Heal. Now, the one player might be Dominguez. Like, Dominguez has got no run, and the Yankees haven't really given him any chance in the postseason at all. I don't think New York is a place. Like, where are the young players that were given a chance and then were banished forever because, you know, New York, we don't tolerate, you know, rebuilds or another. Like, I know what he was trying to say, but I don't think it applies.
Well, Darnold would be the one. Gino would be the one.
The quarterbacks. Who else?
Gino. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but Geno wasn't even a first-round pick. And he got popped in the face by a teammate, and he got his jaw shut,
wired
shut.
I mean, for the Mets, if anything, they've done it to the detriment. Like, Travis Darnold was here forever, and he wasn't any good. And they let him go, and people are like, oh, yeah, look at what he's done elsewhere. No, like, this is not a – and it's not just New York, although I would say New York specifically, but the major leagues – the NFL, the NBA, this is not a development league. Like, this is the big leagues. You should be learning this stuff. And that's why I have a problem with today's sports, because we do see guys learning and teams trying to figure out what players can be at the major league level. Jason Dominguez shouldn't be learning how to play the outfield as a New York Yankee. He should be learning how to play the outfield in the minor leagues. And then when he's great at that, then if he's lucky, if they think he's good enough, then you get called to the major leagues. Like, you have to earn your way. This is not let's find out if Mark Vientos can field at the big league level. No, you figure that out at the minor league level. Beatty, same thing. Now, at some point, you do your job, you get the call, and then you figure out if you can make it here. Mm-hmm. But what's that supposed to last forever? No, it's a big league.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. You and I, massive Knick guys, you don't think R.J. Barrett got a chance to show he could be an all-star?
Right.
I mean, he was serviceable, but I think anybody who knows anything about basketball, the things that he was bad at, he was never going to get good at. His handle was loose. He's never going to be a good shooter ever. All right, so the Knicks made the decision to move on. Right decision. Look where the Knicks are now. Quickly, not worth $25 million a year. He got run. He played. Austin Wells, he's been batting fourth. Like, the Yankees season changed with Austin Wells, who really didn't even have amazing minor league success. He had, you know, some success, but it wasn't like he was hitting 930 OPS down there every year. He's the number four hitter. They've kept him there. Volpe, you know, Volpe had a really good spring a couple of years ago. Hit .212 last year. They didn't sit him. They didn't banish him this year. He suddenly stopped hitting home runs. I don't know who he is. They didn't banish him. Like, I think young kids have actually gotten more rope now than back in the day with, like, Bobby Meacham and George Steinbrenner and some of the other, I don't know, just, you know, the hair trigger moves that some of the owners used to have.
And I'm just trying to think around the diamond for the Mets. Like, where's the player that the Mets have stayed with and developed and been patient with that otherwise wouldn't have? Matter of fact, they didn't. They brought in J.D. Martinez to be the DH. Mark Vientos was not on the big league team. Beatty wasn't getting the job done. They brought up Vientos, and he's been good. But there was never any thought like that they were going to get rid and banish Vientos, because teams now, to your point, they know the asset of a young, controllable player and value that potential. The Mets didn't make any moves at the deadline that gave up anything. But look around the diamond. Alonso's been here forever. Lindor's a seasoned vet.
Yep.
Iglesias is beyond a seasoned vet. Marte, veteran player. Bader,
McNeil.
Nimmo's been here forever.
Diaz, a couple years now.
Like, Alvarez and Vientos are the two young players.
And they play every day.
Exactly. And Alvarez hasn't done anything. And nobody's saying get rid of him because he's still new. I don't even know. Like, we're not watching him develop. He just hasn't hit. I mean, he's been fine defensively.
Are you a little down on him? A little. Like, you on him like I was on Volpe.
But here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to be better. Here's the thing. He's hitting ninth. So who would I rather have up in the ninth spot? Like, even when he comes up to this day, even in the midst of a funk, I still think he's going to get the job done. So, and now he hasn't, but I still have confidence in him. And if he doesn't, turn it over to the top of the order. Like, yeah. I think they're in a good spot where the old Mets would be relying on him to be the four hitter.
Yes.
And instead, they're working him in the way the Yankees would as a nine hitter.
Yeah, I mean, Dominguez drops down there. Volpe's hitting seventh or eighth. Yeah, but the fact that he's still batting ninth, disconcerting is a little strong. Yeah. But, and that's not even a story for today.
Mets are moving on.
They need more for him. I'm not Ted Williams, the hitting coach. I don't love his mechanics. I don't love his approach at the plate myself. But whatever, he's young. He's young. He's got talent.
Yeah. But and you're not going to live with it forever.
Like, exactly.
He's going to get next year and probably the year after that. But at some point, hey, this guy's not getting the job done. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. We have Brett Boone as well coming up. So we'll talk some playoff baseball, specifically his brother's team. 888-808-1019, the number to call.
Yeah, to tell Brett, hey, tell your brother to get Heal out there. Instead of, I'm going to tell him. You know what I'm going to tell him? Watch. I promise I'm going to tell him. Hey, get this to your brother. Heal game five if necessary, not Rodon.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan right now. We're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by the stores, of course. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. Brett, BT and Sal on the Fan, how are you enjoying this postseason so far?
What's up, guy? I love it. You know, since I've not a player anymore and was always, I'm skeptical of anything new and this big format, 12 teams making it, the old school in me didn't like, but I'll tell you what, as an ex-player, as a fan, I love it. I think the postseason, since I've been, you know, doing this analyst stuff on this side of the ledger, I've really enjoyed the postseason the last three or four. So,
you know,
disappointing.
As a Met fan, I'm enjoying it as well, but I'm sitting back watching your brother's team sweat out the Royals. What have you thought of those three games so far by Aaron Boone's Yankees?
Yankees, you know, that was huge, them getting the win. Game one with Cole, he didn't pitch very well, and they, I thought they got lucky to win. You know, you had Chisholm saying they got Kansas City got lucky to win game two. I said, you got lucky to win game one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I knew going into Kansas City, was one of those teams, just like the Detroit Tigers down the stretch. 2 months ago, you wouldn't think Kansas City's going to the postseason. All of a sudden, they get a berth and they're in there. But I knew by watching their pitching, Reagans and especially Lugo, those two, those are tough pitchers. Waka's been formidable all year. Right now, Waka, the last couple outings I've been watching them, I'm not seeing as much as I was seeing earlier in the year. But they're definitely formidable. You know, you got the Bobby Witt and the Salvador Perez, really good players. That was big getting that win last night. I think it sets them up good to finish this out. But last night, you know, they don't win that game, they're in big trouble. But yeah. I think, you know, just the flip of the switch, they're in good shape right now.
Well, I hope so, unless they go back to the Bronx in game five and Carlos Rodon's got to get the ball. Hey, listen, tell your brother. Here's what you got to tell your brother. Somebody on the roster.
Oh, hey. Let me get my notepad.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple things for you. So start with this. Tell him, you know, Luis Gil, Luisgil. In case he forgot how to spell it. If we get to a game five, which, by the way, at this point, I don't think they do, I would give Gil the ball over Rodon. I don't know how you trust Carlos Rodon, Brett. I just don't know how you do it. How does your brother trust him?
Well, here's how I look at it. And Aaron and me, we're like-minded in a lot of ways. We definitely have pretty good debates. In this situation, with the rotation they've gone with losing Nestor Cortes, Clark Schmidt being back, I'm in 100% agreement with how they're going about it. You got to give the ball to Cole tonight because he's your guy. He's the Cy Young a year ago. He pitched nine innings last two games of the season. I know he wasn't great in game one, but this is why you have Gerrit Cole to close him out tonight. I'm not waiting for game five. As far as the heel, Rodon's another guy. You gave him a lot of money. He's got to be up for this. I see what you're saying. He started off the last game, punched out the side in the first, and then it was shaky from there. So I understand your concern as a New York fan.
Yep.
Rodon for game five, if it comes to it. Let's hope it doesn't get to a game five for, you know, the rare times that, I'm a little biased because it is Aaron. I want to see him win. But I agree with how they're going about it. I agree with replacing Clark Schmidt for Heel.
Me too.
And Heel going to the bullpen. And I love Heel. I think he's got a bright future. I think he was a huge part of the first half of the season for the Yankees. Without him, they don't get to where they've been. But down the stretch, my eye tells me, watching on the couch, I'd rather have Clark Schmidt in that situation than Heel.
Yeah.
And I'm giving the ball Rodon game five. I mean, you're going to have Heel sit the whole time. He hasn't touched a ball.
I know.
At this point, and put him on the hill in game five.
Well,
the one thing I worry about him is not throwing strikes. And if you get into a big situation in the first two innings, that game might be over.
I
may be right. I may be wrong. I agree with the with how they're going.
Okay. And by the way, some of the things you said, I agree with. And, you know, when he loses command heel, he loses command up in the zone. And suddenly you can look up. It could be a 30 pitch inning with two walks and a base loaded double and, you know, two or three other hits. Like when he loses it, he loses it. When he's on, he's dominant. But I get that. And I like Clark Schmidt a lot and I trust him. But what I also kind of heard, and it was buried in there very, very quickly, I mean, really, the reason that you gave us for Rodon getting the baseball is the amount of money he's making. Not justified from a pitching perspective. Right?
But all I can go on is I watch. Rodon can be dominant. I'm with you. I mean, I wish there was another alternative.
Oh, okay.
I just don't think the heel alternative at this point merits doing that. I just don't.
And I got
just
you.
My gut feeling. Sitting here on the couch as an ex-player, you know, I see things and I go, okay, that right there plays. Waka, I was really big on Waka down the stretch with Kansas City. I watched him in that series and I go, that's not the Waka I'm looking at. I'm looking at a San Diego Padres team who King and Cease have been dominant. Cease has been great. And all of a sudden in the postseason, I don't see the Cease I saw a month ago. The stuff isn't as sharp. I'm a little worried about a Cease. I was worried about a Yu Darvish with the San Diego Padres. Yu Darvish was money. All of a sudden, you got Yu Darvish on Friday in that deciding game, and I'm kind of, my eyes are telling me I'm glad Darvish is on the mound and not Cease. So this is all changes with me, but I just go a lot on this. You know, I take their body of work. I watch what they've done during the season and then during the games, what my eye me and my eye tells me right now I got to go with Rodon. I cannot risk, I don't think, Heel and his ability to be wild. If you get the great Heel, he might pitch a shutout. But if you get the other one, you might lose the game. So
got it.
That's what I'm going. I might be right, I might be wrong.
I got you.
Just what my gut tells me.
BT and Sal on the fan. We have Brett Boone on the line. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What are your eyes seeing, Brett, with Aaron Judge?
Whoa. Aaron's having a tough time. I mean, he's still getting on base, but he's not the Aaron Judge we expect. I was sitting here watching the game with my son last night, so he's giving me that side eye like, you think Aaron Judge is going to get another hit? I said, eventually, you know, you look back at the history of the postseason. There's been so many star-type players that have a lot of struggles in the postseason. For me, the biggest one I noticed in my career was Barry Bonds, and he was noted for it. You know, Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, has not had any postseason success. Barry Bonds was horrible in the postseason until 2002 when it clicked, and then he went like 15 for 17 or something ridiculous. But it's a situation where, unlike Soto, who's got the protection of Aaron Judge, we always go into a series and we have that pregame meeting. We say, all right, what are we going to do? This guy will not beat. We always pick one guy in the team. That guy is obviously Aaron Judge. He hits behind Soto. So Soto's got a little bit of cover. That being said, Judge doesn't look like Judge has looked all year, but he didn't look like Judge either in April. So got to roll with it. You got to see what happens. I've seen it before with the big stars. You're always going to be paid close attention to. You're always going to be pitched more careful than anybody else in the lineup. But, yeah, at this point, you know, tonight might be the night. Who knows? Stanton last night coming up with a big game. That's why Stanton's been so important for this team. It's not that he's Judge. It's not that he's Soto. But it's the presence of him in the lineup, and at any time he can hit a two-run homer. Last night he got three knocks. That was huge, but I'm with you. Judge has got to step up, and we'll see if that's tonight.
Yeah, and he hasn't had that protection all year, and he still basically put up 60 home runs. And listen, I'm not a hitting coach. This is your department here, but his approach, the best way to describe, he looks jumpy. Like the first pitch, like something off speed. I'm talking about a foot and a half outside. He's waving at it. He's expanded his zone. You can tell he's feeling the pressure. He knows to be an all-time great Yankee, you got to deliver in October, and he's changing the way he operates. It's so obvious.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that gets to us. We're all human. Aaron Judge is the best offensive player, I think, on the planet right now. You know, Shohei Ohtani's got a little bit of an argument there, but for me, I'm taking Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Line to line, 162 games. But you're right. And you look at his body of work, I think he's now hitting right around 200, closing in on 200 postseason ABs. And that starts to wear on you, even the greatest of the greats. You know, they're still vulnerable. We still have, you know, we have egos, but we're also very insecure when it comes to, you know, you'll go on a real bad streak, and in your mind you're thinking, am I ever going to drive in another run? Am I ever going to get two hits in a game? And you really, as ridiculous as that is for what Aaron Judge has done, those things creep in. He knows he's the man in New York. He knows he's the captain of that Yankee team and on the biggest franchise maybe in sports, on the big stage in the Big Apple. You want to come through, and he's well aware that he hasn't had that much postseason success. So without a doubt, he's still human, as great as he is, and he's starting to feel it. Like, I got to do something. And then all of a sudden, you start trying to do something,
yep.
You go back. I've been in that spot. It's tough, but hopefully you can get through this. I'll have a little bit of rest. Go on to the next round. Maybe Aaron could get it going.
You guys could take Ohtani or Aaron Judge. I'll take Francisco Lindor. He actually is getting it done on the big stage in New York. How about his week and a half here? I mean, he's had a great season, Brett, but, my man, come on. These home runs that he's hitting in big spots, getting on base late in these games, what he's doing for the Mets. What are your thoughts on Francisco Lindor?
Lindor is great. And without Shohei Ohtani in the league this year, you know, he's maybe the front runner for that National League MVP. That Mets team to me is amazing right now. I've kind of got a soft spot for Carlos Mendoza. I've kind of secretly been cheering for the Mets, and they've had some heroics. I mean, down to the last week of the season when they had to go to Atlanta, beat an Atlanta ball club, they did, in kind of comeback fashion, which they've been doing down the stretch and in the postseason. They've been playing postseason baseball, those Mets, for the last month. Just like the Detroit Tigers, I think that's why they have a little bit of an edge, because they came into the postseason, you know, already been playing postseason games. Just to get into the tournament, I call it now. It's like March Madness.
Mm.
But these guys just got a nose for the finish line. All the guys are getting big hits. Alonso's hitting big home runs. Lindor with the walk, not the walk off, but the grand slam to win it in another dramatic fashion. You know, with all those guys in that lineup, it's been unbelievable to watch. Vientos and Nimmo and like I said, Alonso, he hasn't been hitting any opposite barrel home runs. All of a sudden, he's got three in the postseason.
Yeah.
Manaea's been tremendous. Severino seemed to catch his groove. It's just been a fun thing to watch, and them clinching last night didn't surprise me. On paper, you look at that. Say Quintana, Suarez. A good pitching matchup. You figure I'm going to give the edge to Philly. They need to win a game here with Suarez on the mound. Both of the pitchers go out, don't disappoint, but the Mets find a way to win again. When on paper, everything said Philly should have won last night, but everything said the Mets shouldn't have been there. So I'm kind of happy. Like I said, I'm kind of cheering for Mendoza. I've become a little of a fanboy with him, so it's cool watching the Mets, and you're creeping closer. It would be unbelievable if you got a Mets-Yankees World Series.
Oh, man. Oh, dude.
But I know you guys would be happy.
Little bro be going down in that case, Brett. Little bro be taking an L in that case. You don't want to see the Mets. You don't want this smoke.
I'll tell you what. That's the best place in the world to play a baseball game. I got to do it for a lot of years. And coming there, playing in the Bronx postseason, there is absolutely nothing like it. To see that would be pretty special. But Yankees still got some work to do to qualify for the next round.
That is true.
Watch.
It's Brett Boone, Odyssey Insider, BT and Sal. You know, about the Mets even more, like Lindor, even before I got here, he was a star. This is next level. It's amazing to see. Pete, big power. What I'm most impressed with, and I need you to expand on this, like their approach with 0-2, and we saw that really over the weekend with five straight quality at-bats with 0-2 counts. Like, it's not as simple as just choking up or being gritty. like, how are they such a quality hitting team when they're so in the hole in the count? What attributes does that require?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we've gotten away from that in the modern game.
Totally.
The 0-2 count. Strikeouts haven't been, and I can't believe it as a player. I mean, that's the one thing. When you strike out, that affects your being. You're walking back to the dugout. Nobody wants to strike out. It's kind of like a badge of honor. He didn't punch me out. Today, it's kind of been lost. And the teams that do put a lot of emphasis on two-strike hitting, it's great to see. For me, I would go up there two strikes, and you talk about choking up. I choke up for one reason. The choke up, that automatically tells my brain I'm in two-strike mode. I've got to protect. I don't even have to worry about if it's close. If it's an inch off the plate, normally in a 2-0, 3-1 count, I wouldn't swing at it because it's a good pitch. With two strikes, I got to know I'm not going to let the umpire take that bat out of my hand. So choking up, when you mention that, it's something. And I'm not saying you have to choke up, but as a player, do something different with your body. If you stand straight up and down and that's your stance, move your front foot forward 2 inches. That's going to trigger to your brain. I'm in two-strike mode, anything close. Because the last thing I'm going to do, and I see it all the time, pitcher makes a great pitch, buckles the hitter, hitter walks back shaking his head, yeah, that was a great pitch. You can't get the bat taken out of your hand without swinging at a great pitch because you're fooled. I think it's something we've gotten away from, two strikes. The Mets are doing a great job, and I think everybody else should kind of follow their lead. It would be a different game, and it really does change the dynamic of the game. When you walk away, runner on third, less than two outs, I see it more than ever today. Ooh. Guys taking a called third strike and shaking their head. Oh, that's a good pitch. You know, BS. That ain't a good pitch. I got to put that ball in play. So what the Mets are doing, I think it is awesome. I think everybody should follow their lead. Two-strike approach should come back. Hopefully that pendulum will swing back and we'll start playing the game correctly on all of them.
Who would be the tougher opponent for the Mets, Brett, the Padres or Dodgers?
I think the Padres are just superior just because of their bullpen. I think the Dodgers really lack that starting pitching. You've got Flaherty at the top. He's a good pitcher. But no disrespect to Flaherty. I don't think anybody's scared of Flaherty.
No.
You know, then you follow him up. Walker Buehler isn't Walker Buehler of 2021. If he was, I think it would be a different situation. So I look at their starting rotation. Yamamoto, man, he's been hurt a lot. I don't know how much he's got in the tank and how many innings he can pitch. So I look at that starting rotation for the Dodgers. It doesn't really scare you. Padres, they've got something going special with that offense. They've had it all year. And that bullpen, the changes they made at that trading deadline, when you go Adam, Scott, Suarez, that's as good as anybody. Cleveland might rival it in the American League. Mm. But they're as good as anybody. For me, the Padres, what I've seen, I live in San Diego, so I keep a special eye on them. I think the Padres would be the tougher opponent.
Brett, last thing. It's been really good, by the way. Brett Boone, of course, Odyssey Baseball Insider, BT and Sal, on the Fan. I want to bring a full circle back to your brother, Aaron. Listen, of course, he's your brother, man. So whatever you guys.
Uncle Aaron. I just use that for the kids. Uncle Aaron.
I got you. Hey, hit up Uncle Aaron for a loan. He's making big money from the Yankees. He's got it. So the thing about Yankee managers, eventually they got to win a World Series, all right? He's been here 7 years. He's been class. He's been good. He's won a lot of games. Not the big one yet. Not even really close. Well, kind of close, but you know what I'm saying. Do you think that he thinks if he doesn't beat the Royals that he is gone, that he will be the ex-manager of the Yankees?
No, I don't think he's even thinking that far ahead. It seems from my seat watching, you know, how it is in New York, and I realize it's a tough spot. I mean, but I've also had, you know, heart-to-heart talks with him going, well, you know, when you sign on the dotted line to be the skipper of the New York Yankees, you know what comes with that, and that's a lot more scrutiny than maybe other skippers around the league. I remember when he was signing back, I said, are you kidding me? You get a chance to be the Yankee skipper? Yeah, there's probably three or four or ten other managerial jobs in baseball. But to walk away from being the Yankees, that's where you want to be. You want to be on that hot seat. You want to be that fire to your feet every day. Because if you win a World Series in New York, you got the key to the city for the rest of your life. I said, it wouldn't even be a question for me. I want to be in the hottest pot, boiling, to manage. So that's it. That's his perspective. I don't think Aaron thinks too far ahead. He's thinking about winning tonight and not worried about getting fired. He's been getting fired, you know, four or five times along his journey. I think he's done a great job. And this isn't me just being a brother. Of course, I'm always going to look out for my brother, but I try to be as analytical and fair as I can without the bias. I look at what Aaron's done, his body of work, the 100-game seasons that he's won, gone to the postseason a lot of times in his tenure, and he's dealt with a lot of ups and downs. Of course, I'm going to pay a little closer attention to the Yankees, but through the years, I mean, the injuries that the Yankees have had and still got to the postseason most of the time, given the postseason, especially in this current climate, I think it's the toughest, it's the easiest to ever get, the easiest in the history of the game to ever qualify for the postseason. But once you get in, I argue that it could be the toughest to ever win a World Series because you got to go through so many layers.
Mm-hmm.
And with the rules, everybody's getting in these hot teams, the Kansas Cities, the Detroits. Nobody expected them to be in the postseason, and now they're threatening going to the next round and then threatening to go to the World Series. A year ago, you had Arizona, you had Texas. Nobody expected those two teams.
Yep.
Bruce Bochy ran that bullpen unbelievable in Texas and kind of threaded the needle, and I don't know how he did it, but he won a World Series. And Arizona showed up. Nobody in the world expected Arizona. So I think today's different. The 162 isn't as important, and as an ex-player, I hate that because 162 is what it's about. When you stand on the top of the mountain after 162, that's an accomplishment.
Yep.
You can't just cruise in with a 50-50 record, you know, a 500 record. Nowadays, you can. Now, as a fan, I love it because there's more teams. I think it's good for baseball. It's more entertaining. You never know what's going to happen. I sit here and I can break it down, I think, as good as anybody and tell you why they should win, but I find myself scratching my head all the time going, how the hell did that happen? So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Aaron Boone, I don't think he's going to worry about that. I think he's got one more year after this year. I think he's worried about winning tonight. if they were to lose somewhere along the line, I'm sure you'll hear the naysayers saying you should fire him. He's the worst.
I'll be yelling fire Cashman before I'll be yelling fire your brother, but just for the record.
Let me tell you this, and I'll leave you with this. I played for a long time. I never remember sitting around having a beer after the game with my teammates, MF and the skipper, saying, man, he really screwed us tonight. Without him, we'd really win it all.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life. For the most part, what I see from the outside is players love him. He obviously has their back sometimes to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, at the end of the day, he does a really good job. Players win games. Players win, and managers tend to lose, and managers are hired to be fired. But at the end of the day, you get a special group. New York, man, when they had that, I got my heart broken a couple times in the Bronx in the postseason. Those great teams that won, you know, 5 World Series rings, and that was such a special, special group that doesn't come along that often. To win a World Series, man, it's hard. You know, I thought my first World Series, you got bounced by the Yankees when I was with the Braves, and I thought, I'll be back. I'll have plenty of times to win a World Series. I finished my career. I didn't get to win a World Series, and I kind of envy the guys that do. And if you ever do win one, really know where you're at because it's a pretty special thing. But I understand the New York thing. Aaron understands it, and I think he's just worried about winning, and he'll worry about all that stuff later.
Thank you, Brett. We appreciate the time.
You guys, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
That was some answer.
He's great. Yeah. I like talking to him a lot.
I do, too. He's been real good.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Larry is in East Islip. What's up, Larry?
What's up, fellas? Sal, let me tell you, I was there the last 2 nights. Lindor separated himself this weekend, boys. He separated himself. That is a true winner. You see how he talks post-game. You see how he acts. He hits the home run. He starts jogging. I'm screaming. I'm grabbing the guy in front of me, yelling, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. He doesn't say a word. He trots around, gives everybody a hug, goes back in the dugout. That's who we want. That's who we need. He's not saying, I didn't go to the All-Star game. I'm an All-Star. No, no, no. A true leader does exactly what he did. He's seen it. He lived it. He stepped up, and he did it. That's all I got, boys. Have a great day. Hey, I'll be there next Wednesday.
There you
Let's
go, Larry.
Go.
Hey, give me goosebumps, that whole call. That was a great call from Larry BT. Good way to close the show. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. We hit a lot of Mets. We did some Yankees. We talked Giants with Jonathan Casillas. We did Jets and the news of Downing taking over the play calls. We did a lot. Bottom line is the New York Mets are in the National League Championship Series.
And we'll meet you there when we punch the ticket tonight. Garrett Cole got to lead the way. Garrett Cole, I'm even more focused on Cole than Judge.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, listen, eventually Judge going to run into one. Garrett Cole, he got rocked the last time out. Even the outro were bullets. Get out there. They have two hitters. Pitch around them. Get them out. Win the game. And let's keep this thing moving.
Good luck tonight.
Oh, yeah. We'll be good.
We
thank
hope
you,
to
buddy.
See you there
I, the sincerity is dripping off the microphone. Thanks, buddy.
All right. That does it for us. Thanks, everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove, Jack, and Hoff. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.